So when you're faced with a really serious, important decision, your own life, as a couple, as a family, how do you go about it? What do you do? What factors do you consider? Who do you speak to about getting some guidance and assistance in making the decision? How do you know when you really got it right? I know lots of people, they take out a piece of paper like this, and they put all the pros here and all the cons here, and they add them up and says, 14 pros and 37 cons, now we're not going to do that. Wouldn't it be good if it was that easy? And how do you make sure that the decisions you make as a believer, as a couple, as a family, and we as a church community are really Christian decisions? The first reading today from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 15, tells us how the early church community, the first generation of followers of Jesus, came to make a very critical decision about the future direction of the whole church. And there are some clues in the way they made a good decision that might help us make good Christian decisions as well. Number one, a prayerful openness to the power of God's Holy Spirit to guide the decision. If you don't pray, it's not a Christian decision. But we who've been given the gift of the Holy Spirit in baptism and confirmation, we who will celebrate the renewal of that Holy Spirit in Pentecost just 2 weeks from today, have the access to ask the Lord, open our hearts and minds to see what the good is. Step one is to pray with openness to the Holy Spirit to guide the decision that you make. Step two, a willingness to listen openly and consider other points of view than your own. If you already know everything and you never make a mistake, don't worry about it. You're going to make your own decisions. But if, in fact, other people have opinions and perspectives and judgments and insight that can enrich your decision, then as a couple together, as a family together, as a church together, we need to have an openness towards one another, as the early church had when the Gentile and Jewish Christians came together from different worlds, and yet together to give an insight into what does God ask of us. Three, it's very important to keep focus on what really matters. It's too easy for us to get distracted by secondary, peripheral issues. And by the way, let's talk about this too. Keep focus on what you're trying to settle. What's the real core value here? What's the good we're pursuing? Why is this decision ordered in this way? Skip the side stuff. Don't use the decision about this matter to throw in a few other things I've been trying to get through to him for a long time now. Focused on what the issue at hand is. And fourth, and very importantly, to have a commitment to the good of the unity of the couple or the family or the community above getting my own way. That's what happened in the early church. They prayed for the guidance of the Spirit. They listened to one another with open hearts. They kept focused on what does God want of us here. And they surrendered some of their own individual point of view. They compromised, they collaborated, they worked together for the common good, to preserve the unity of our church. So that's how the early church made a good Christian decision. Do we, who are followers of Jesus in 2016, need to follow all those laws of the Old Testament Jewish community? No, that's the decision they made. Think about what we'd be doing if they decided otherwise. So I'm going to ask you, married couples, I'm going to ask you, family groups that are here, to take just 10 minutes this week, between now and next Sunday, 10 minutes, and sit down together and look back at a decision you recently made. Ask yourself, how did you make that decision? Was it prayerful? Was it made with an open willingness to listen to the other's point of view? Did it keep focused on what really matters? And was the good of your family, the good of your marriage, the good of our community, the upright value that you wanted to sustain in whatever you decide? Some of our decisions aren't so good. Sometimes we pray and listen and guide, and we still make mistakes. But just a simple list of pros and cons is not enough to make a truly Christian decision. And if you're facing a decision next week, next month, next year, Why not ask that power of God's Holy Spirit that comes to us in Pentecost to fill your heart and mind so that every decision you make as a believer, as a married couple, as a family, and we as a church would truly be a Christian decision made by God through us.